I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our congregation in a given year, there are these different milestones that we experience, and we hope that through these milestones that it's enough of an environment and enough of an interaction that takes place in different people's lives that it yields a faith and faith development. For our third graders, this is one such moment. So I'm going to ask Grace Bailey if she'll come at this time. She's going to read our third graders' names. At that time, they will come to me. And one of the things that we do on behalf of St. Paul is we want to present them with their very own Bible. The hope is that this becomes their Bible, Bible that they love and care for, Bible that they read and they study. And we want to have a hand and be a part of that. So for our third graders, we're excited that you're here today, and we can't wait to give you your very own Bible.
Miles Baker.
Hey, Miles. God bless you, buddy.
Yes. Lovett Beck.
Hey, Lovett. God bless you.
James Boyd.
Hey, James. Very own Bible. God bless you.
Jack Carver.
Hey, Jack. Always looking good, buddy. God bless you.
Helen Godfrey. Anna Gosling.
Hey, Anna. God bless you.
Henry Gosling.
Hey, Henry. God bless you, buddy.
Reese Gudger.
Hey, Reese. God bless you.
Bruton Harrison.
Hey, Bruton. God bless you, buddy.
Sam Hubbard.
Hey, Sam.
Kate Martin.
Hey, Kate. God bless you.
Josie Park.
Hey, Josie. God bless you.
Hattie Pease.
Hattie, short walk for you, huh? God bless you.
Gates Rabin.
Hey, Gates. Big smile, buddy. God bless you. All right, guys, if you would, face the congregation, and if you would open up your Bibles, we have a response that, in light of receiving your Bibles, I want to invite you, if you would, to read this with me. You ready? We receive these Bibles with our hands, our hearts, and our minds. Thank you. We will read and study the Bible together. And then I want you to hear from our congregation. We rejoice in this step and your journey with God. We pray God will guide you, your family, and us as you use this Holy Bible in your home, in your church school classes, and in our worship. We will learn together and grow in our love of God's Word. And then together, the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
Please prepare your hearts for worship. Not worship, prayer. Father, we ask that you'll meet us where we are today, even in our mistakes. Lord, we are here together today, yet we are all in different situations, different circumstances, going through different life events, all at the very same moment. And we're all here together. And although our situations might look different, you know our hearts. You know our needs. So help us be present to you in this moment, to be open to receive whatever you might have for us today, to give you our undivided attention, ready to listen with an open mind. Father, we celebrate the third graders as they receive the gift of your word, a Bible. Father, let us too be reminded that we have your word wherever we go, that we have access to you through scripture. What a gift this is, Father. When everything around us is constantly changing, your word remains constant, firm, never shifting, and true. What a gift this is. What a joy. All we need and could ever long for is here in these words. So meet us here today. Again, wherever we are, in our minds, in our bodies, and in our souls, and show us how to understand your word. Put a hunger in our hearts to want to learn, to discover, to want to ask questions, to want to search and seek, and to want you most, above all things, above all of our circumstances. You know our lives. You know what's going on inside of us right now. Use your word to illuminate whatever it is you want us to know today. May we be learners of the word. And may we also give you thanks for the prayer you once gave your disciples so long ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the singing of the hymn of preparation, Morning Has Broken, number 145.
Thank you.
from Exodus 32, verses 11 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them with the face of the earth, from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome you once again to St. Paul to this worship service. As the children come down front for the children's moment, please take a moment to greet those around you. And if you haven't registered your attendance yet, please do so. No hugging or kissing.
Hey, John Burrow, how you doing, buddy? You doing all right? Hey, guys. Well, Millie, how are you? Hey, sweetie. So I don't know yet. So how are you? You doing okay? It's a microphone. So when I speak into this, everybody can hear me. That's not too bad, huh? Pretty good? So you're thinking you want a microphone, huh? You do? You want one? All right, well, we'll have to ask Mr. John to get you a microphone. So it's been a while since I've seen you guys, right? You want it for your birthday? When's your birthday? One day ago? Yeah, I saw pictures of that, right? Yeah, so, and yours is in October? October the 3rd? Well, you know what my birthday is? September. It's right around the corner. Yours is? That's a great month, isn't it? All right, I need some help. I need two people to help me. Who all right, come on. You go. Imagine that. Come on. All right, so, ma'am, won't you stand right here? You stand right here. Spread out a little bit. So I want you to stay right where you are, and I want you to see if you can hold hands. You can't? Why not? It's too far, huh? So what if I did this? What if? That's kind of like we're all holding hands now, right? So today we're talking about intercessory prayer. It's intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is when there is maybe a division between two parties, and yet somebody comes in the middle to connect the two. So whenever you pray for somebody, you're actually being an intercessor. So you're trying to connect the two together. Now, when we pray, we want to connect a person to God, but you stand in the gap in the middle to help someone else. So let's do that. You think we could pray right now to help somebody? You want to do that? All right, so let's bow our heads. Oh, God, we give thanks for your love and for your mercy, and we pray. We really give thanks for the privilege to intercede on behalf of others. And so in these moments of prayer at this very moment, I would imagine, God, there are so many people, their faces, their names, situations that come to our minds, some of them around the globe. And we want to intercede on their behalf. And what we pray is for hope and for healing. We pray for your gospel to come and for your hand to uphold. Bless these, O God, who sit with me. Watch over them. Bless their families, we pray. And we pray it in your name. Amen. All right, y'all, go to Children's Church. Let's pray, oh God, as we move now into a different part of our worship service. What we pray, Lord, is that through the aid of your Holy Spirit and the engagement with the scripture lesson somehow produces the gospel. And so what we pray, God, is for that to find its way deep down into the depths of our souls and in return yield a harvest that is 10, 20, even 100-fold. So we pray that again for ourselves. At the same time, we open our hearts and our minds to these moments in hopes of being with you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Of the seven different prayers that John and I are highlighting in this sermon series. If I had to guess the one prayer that we're most comfortable with, it would be today's topic, intercession. If we were to take a survey and maybe list the different ways that we pray, I'm certain this would be at the top of the list for all of us. In the Greek, to intercede is to petition. In the Latin, it's to stand between two parties and to act on their behalf. And so if you can imagine that there's a chasm that exists between two parties and someone bridges the gap for both, then you get the concept of intercession. When we intercede, we want to be a connecting piece between the two parties. Now, in our text, Moses is interceding on behalf of the children of Israel. He's standing in the gap for them. And so let me reset the scene. Laura just read a small portion of verses, but the story that's connected to this really begins around Exodus 19, Exodus 20, and it runs all the way to Exodus 32. So basically 12 or 13 chapters. This is after Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. As soon as they cross, they head dead south. They're on the Sinai Peninsula then, and they're headed south. They're journaling parallel to the Gulf of Suez. And there's a mountain that's close to the very southernmost point of the peninsula. That mountain is Sinai. And it took the children of Israel 89 days, roughly three lunar cycles, to go from crossing the Red Sea down to Mount Sinai. And the scriptures don't tell us how long they were at the mountain, but they camped there. And they made it was a number of days. And Moses made a number of journeys up and down the mountain, actually seven that are recorded for us in the book of Exodus. We're most familiar with the fourth one. In that fourth trip up the mountain, that is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. That's where he received dimensions for the Ark of the Covenant. That's where he received insight into the role of the priest and what would be their jobs and duties inside of the community. But he was gone for a long time. Number of days, number of weeks. And in that time of separation from Moses and the children of Israel, for that long period of time that he was up on the mountain, some lost hope. Now, Moses was their leader, was a good leader, and there were many who believed that he might have died. There were some to believe maybe he left. And so the thought was, now what do we do? And so they wrestled with what to do. For some, they wanted to return to Egypt. For others, wanted to go forward, this time under new leadership or new management. But whatever they chose to do, what they agreed upon is that it needed something that would give them security and be a source of vitality. A golden bull or a golden calf. The surrounding religions of that day, if you looked for the symbol, that was the symbol of life, that was the symbol of security, the symbol of vitality, it was a golden calf. And so they fashioned for themselves a golden calf. And on one level, we read this with a number of years of separations, and so it's easy for us to be critical, but I don't, it's really can't be too critical. I mean, what do you do when you journey into a place that's unknown and you lose your way? Or you lose hope? Exodus 32 is a conversation between Moses and God after the people fashioned for themselves a symbol of security and vitality. Naturally, you can imagine that God is angry. I mean, after all, God brought them out of Egypt in miraculous fashion. The Ten Commandments were the means, the foul lines for them as they entered into this new land. What the Ten Commandments were, what do you do to not run off the rails? But if you do run off the rails, there's this Ark of the Covenant and the role of the priest so that you could be forgiven. So these gifts that God gave the children of Israel, he's caring for them all throughout. And yet, for whatever reason, The people opted for something else. This week, we're going to move Caroline back to college, and so naturally, we were packing up her room and last night, and whenever sometimes that's a chance for me to reflect, and I couldn't help but remember that when Connor and Caroline were maybe even younger than the children that visited with me in the children's sermon, where they were young enough to where their routine in the day was wake up, eat breakfast, play, take a nap, play, go to bed. And along those lines, there would be these times where what people told me at that age was, when they sleep, you what? You sleep. That's right. So we normally, the way it would work in the Green household is that we would play in the morning, whether it be with Connor and his trains or Star Wars or whatever, or Caroline and with her dolls. But when it was playtime was over, we did what? We put them back up, cleaned up the room, laid them down either in their bed or their crib, and they were supposed to take a nap so that Brooke and I could grab maybe a quick 20 or 30 minutes or whatever. We had these monitors. That's what you had back then. We had these monitors where we could hear what was going on in their rooms. And almost every time we would doze off and then something would take place in the monitor, a sound, and we would wake back up, to which one of us would go to their rooms, and immediately the room just would be like shot out of a cannon. 15 minutes before, it was clean. You doze off for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then it's just ransacked. And I remember, I actually laughed about this last night. I remember, sometimes even at age 20 or 22, it's the same process. And, it's like, what just happened? I was just here. We just cleaned it up. I think that's a little like what God felt. We just left Egypt. I was just with you. I'm up here talking to Moses for a period of time, and then all of a sudden, it's like it's shot out of a cannon. But Moses interceded for the people. Laura read for you his prayer. It's not an eloquent prayer. It's simply based on his relationship with God. Notice that Moses didn't make excuses for people. He didn't try to explain it. All he did was talk to God about God's nature and God's desire for wholeness. And out of his love and care for both parties, for the children of Israel, for God, he prayed. Why do we intercede? Well, some would say, well, Shane, I think we're told to do this. That's James chapter 5, verse 16. We are to pray for one another. Ephesians chapter 6 says you are to pray always with supplication. The idea is that you are interceding. So some would rightly argue, well, the reason why we intercede is because we're told to. Some would say, well, because Jesus did it. And we follow his example. John 17, verse 18. I do not pray for these alone, but for all those who believe in me. Both of those will do. Told to pray, modeling someone else. When we intercede, it actually unites our hearts to the people or the situations that we pray for. It creates a connection where you carry a burden on behalf of another person. And on one level, it would seem that some burdens are too great to carry, with the exception that when you intercede, what you do is you carry a burden, but you carry it to God on their behalf. I'm sure you would agree with me that there have been people or times or situations in your life where you've wanted so desperately for there to be a change, a different outcome, a different path. And to carry that burden can be so heavy if it were not that we can give it to God to receive. When you intercede, you connect two parties together. And you end up growing closer to each. When you intercede, your faith is renewed. It's often at St. Paul, you hear us talk about we exist to grow the faith of others. And the way we think we do that is that there's certain catalysts. There are things like worship. There are things like service, and where we give ourselves in service to other people. We call missions. There are things like disciplines, where we engage in a discipline so that by engaging, we exercise our faith so that our faith will become stronger. It's like a workout routine. You're just working your faith out. And so when you engage with this particular type of discipline, prayer, more specifically intercessory prayer, your faith is renewed. When you intercede, actually what we experience is humility. It really is a privilege to intercede on behalf of another. Because by doing so, what you're doing is an act of love. Again, you stand in the gap between two parties, and what you hope and desire is that by connecting the two parties, the situation changes. That's intercessory prayer. And so when you engage that way, you can't help but be in awe about the possibility. Humbled. Here's what you need to know about intercessory prayer. It's not a set formula. I used to think that maybe if there was a set formula, then somehow the effectiveness of prayers, you know, they would be more effective. I don't know of such formula. Intent, I think that's the key. Because intercessory prayer really is an act of love. So there's no set formula. Moses actually focused on what he already knew about God and just simply asked God to continue in the way that God had acted in the past. It's not an eloquent prayer. There are other prayers in the Bible that are more eloquent. It's not a long prayer. Not sure there's a formula. But I do know that it changes the person that you are interceding for. Now, sometimes it's hard to quantify that. It's not as if to say if you get one person interceding, then you get, you know, desired outcome A. If you get 10 people, you get desired outcome B, or 100 people C, or 1,000 people D, or 1,000,000 people Z. I'm not sure it works that way. Now, there are times that the situation actually changes. But like you and me and countless other stories that we've heard where people that knew others were praying for them felt levels of encouragement, levels of connection with community, less fearful and better able to cope. This morning, talking to some members of our congregation, I know a number of you are praying for. Today's an important day in the life of their family. And they responded the same way. This is what we sense. And we know that others are praying for us. So it does change the person you're interceding for. Just because you can't see the level of change doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's just beyond the scope of what you can see at that time. But it definitely changes the person praying. Every time I pray for someone else, my life changes. And the same is true for you. So the really only question before us today is, will you be an intercessor? Can you devote 15 minutes of your day, uninterrupted, just 15 minutes to pray for the people around you? Sure you can. I bet Moses' prayer for the children of Israel, at least what's recorded for us, It might have been 2 minutes, but it changed the situation. Some situations don't change without prayer. And at some point, we have to choose to be an intercessor. Can you devote just a few minutes today to pray for those around you? Lord, we read this story and we see Moses' actions and we want to follow suit, Lord. We acknowledge that there are times where we might not know the words, definitely admit there's not a formula. But if our intent and desire and love and care that we have for both parties is enough, then so be it. If even the act of time that is set aside so that some people that we love and care, some situations, that they change, then, oh God, sign us up. Teach us to intercede, to follow your example, so that we grow closer to you, closer to the people we pray for, and that their life and our life changes. Oh God, this is our prayer today, and we pray it in your name. Amen. Our hymn of consecration, you'll find it's hymn number 580, Lead On, O King Eternal. I want to invite you to stand as you're able as we sing this together. Hymn number 580. Now receive this benediction. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face and his countenance and give you rest and peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You are dismissed.